I'm here on a job site with Tim, who owns his own electrical contracting business.
Three employees and two work trucks.
Tim traded up to Geico Commercial Auto Insurance. We're positively here where he needs us most.
They sure are.
With step-by-step help on all his insurance needs, all for shockingly low rates.
Shockingly low, huh?
Just a little bit of electrician humour. Do you get it?
I got it.
You know, it feels like we have a real connection. All right, I'll stop.
Get a commercial auto insurance quote today at geico.com and see how much you could save. Get more with Geico.
This is Betsy Kulikowski, best-selling author of the Veritas Codex paranormal thriller series, and you're listening to Ghost in the Valley podcast.
Hello and welcome to Ghost in the Valley podcast. I'm your host, Al Cooley. Tonight I have a special guest, Bobby Resnick-Calkins and Christina Bloom. They are the host of the Red Road Paranormal podcast. You can watch on YouTube. We will be right back with the many topics that we talked about. And I'll be right back with my conversation with Bobby and Christina right after these brief messages.
Hey everyone, Eric here. I am the host of the Unseen Paranormal Podcast. Join me for a new episode every Wednesday as I delve into the unseen world with historians, authors, researchers, and investigators as we try to understand and make sense of the paranormal. You can listen to past and future episodes on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, Google Podcasts, iHeartRadio, Stitcher, or at unseenparanormalpodcast.com. Please like the show on Facebook and share with your friends. And remember, some of the scariest things are unseen.
Today I have Bobby Resnick-Calkins and Christina Bloom on the show. Bobby and Christina are co-hosts of Red Road Paranormal, a fantastic talk show on the paranormal, and it's available on YouTube. Welcome to the show, Bobby and Christina.
Thanks for having us.
I got your name right. Okay.
You got my name right. Yay.
Okay. Well, before we get started here, each of you tell the listeners a little bit about your background.
Go ahead,
Christina.
All right, I'll go first.
Ladies first. Come on.
All right. We're not used to being this polite to each other. It's weird. Anyways, I am a professional psychic and medium, a paranormal investigator. I'm a member of the Adirondack Park Paranormal Society in the northern region of upstate New York. And I'm also an author, and as you mentioned, a podcast host. I have two podcasts that I am producing, Red Road Paranormal with Resnick, and I have Breakfast with Bobby Clebineau. So both of my co-hosts have the same first name, makes it a lot easier.
All right. Well, I'm Resnick. Basically, I'm a cryptid investigator, a paranormal investigator with a Wisconsin-based team, Cryptids Anomalies in the Paranormal Society, otherwise known as Wisconsin CAPS. I'm a member of the Stockbridge Muncie tribe, Band of Mohicans. Other than that, I'm a Leo. I'm handsome, you know. And what else do you want to know?
How many kids you got? How much adult back support?
Four adult children. Also, I have three adult stepchildren, six grandchildren. You know, we can go from there.
Wow. Okay. All right. You're from Wisconsin then?
Yep.
Yeah. We both live in Wisconsin.
You both live in Wisconsin. Believe it or not, I get a lot of stories out of Wisconsin for Bigfoot.
Yep.
I'm not surprised.
Bigfoot, cryptids, and Indian burial grounds. You know, I kind of put together, you know, from the investigation team was from Wisconsin. So in Wisconsin, do you stay in your area or do you travel outside of that?
My team travels all over. We do a lot of work up in the upper UP of Michigan, a lot in Wisconsin. And then we also have a bunch of stuff that we do on the road when we go out to different paracons or events. we try to investigate what's in that local area also.
But you both investigate in the Wisconsin area.
No, I'm my paranormal group is actually in upstate New York.
Oh, New York.
So,
okay.
Yeah. I do investigation in Wisconsin. There's actually another Adirondack team member that lives in Wisconsin, and he and I are teaming up for some investigations here. But yeah, my group is in upstate New York.
Okay. So I don't want to jump too far ahead of myself. So let's go back to the beginning. All right. Back when Bobby was a little boy and Christina was a little girl, what led you into the paranormal? I mean, when did you know you had the fascination of the unknown?
Well, with me, I actually grew up in a spiritualist church. So from a young child, I knew about the spirit world. I knew about the other side. And I had a knowledge of mediumship. So therefore, you know, it was nothing new to me. It was basically taught into me from an infant. And just over the years, with some of the experiences I've had in the houses I've lived in, along with watching the shows as they started to come to light, I'd sit at home and watch them. I'd hit that bullshit button that we all have next to our bed, you know, or next to our TV remote. Like, yeah, that's full of it. They're full of it. Ain't right. You know, eventually I decided, like, you know what? I can do that, you know, but I wanted to do it legit and be real about it. So I waited till came across a team that I knew I could trust and decided to step out into the world and become an actual investigator and researcher.
Did you have any experience like growing up like in a haunted house or anything like that piqued your curiosity?
Yeah, there are stories in quite a few of the houses we lived in. There's one that kind of really piqued my curiosity. I didn't witness this myself. I was actually upstairs in my bedroom when it happened. But my cousin at the time was living with us. We were down in the Chicagoland area, living in Bensonville. And he was going to one of them tech schools for diesel mechanics. And it was like DeVry or something like that. And they had the old big, heavy Chilton manuals that, you know, they used to have to carry before we had everything read at our fingertips on our phones. And him and his buddy were sitting there studying for one of their tests. And this Chilton's manual lifted up off the table, went over a few feet and slammed to the ground. And that was actually the last night that my cousin decided he was going to stay with us. The rest of that night, he slept in his truck. Within 2 days, he was living with a buddy of his.
Okay.
And what was yours, Christina?
Well, it was first noticed when I was a toddler that I was having prophetic dreams. And it just kind of went from there where I was psychic. I saw things, I heard things, I felt things. Being empathic was interesting as a child. I think most children actually are empathic. We just learn to hide it or run from it or something. But I think I was in junior high school when someone told me to stop being so weird. I didn't know I was being weird. I didn't know other people weren't doing what I was doing. You know, when you're a kid and you can do something, you assume everyone can. Mm-hmm. So I assumed everybody could see and hear and feel the things that I could see and hear and feel. As that went on, there's a whole long, eventually I'll write the book, but there's this whole long story that has to do with addiction and running from it, and it never worked. Because once you got, you can't run from it. Mm-hmm. When they know you can hear you, you can't get away from it. So that didn't work. Wow, I think I got into the paranormal as far as investigating in my 30s. I was doing psychic work long before that, you know, like doing readings for people, learned how to do Reiki and some natural healing techniques and whatnot. But as I joined a paranormal group when I moved to Washington and joined Whisper, I was a member of them for a few years. And then I moved back to Wisconsin. I didn't have a group for a while. I still do home clearings and blessings and that sort of thing. And then when I was out in New York a couple of years ago and actually heading back out this week again, I connected with the group out there that I now belong to.
Oh, that's cool. I mean, yeah. Excuse me, being a psychic medium, I've had other psychic mediums on the show. Almost every one of them said that being a psychic is kind of like, it's a curse and it's a blessing at the same mm-hmm. time. Also, doing readings for your a family member is always tough. Is that true? I mean, yeah. For you?
For me, it is for close family members. Mm-hmm. It's difficult. And it's difficult because I want to stick my two cents in there. And when I'm doing an actual reading, that's not okay. So I think that's what makes it difficult, is I want to give my opinion, but that is not necessarily the same thing spirit wants them to know.
Do you think being a psychic medium helps you out, like say being a Reiki master?
Absolutely.
Yeah. I mean,
absolutely.
I love hearing I ask these questions, and it's always interesting to me, no matter who comes on a show that's a psychic medium. And and it's interesting to me when I hear that you can use that gift in Reiki, you can use that gift in your paranormal investigations.
Absolutely. I don't even actually own any paranormal investigation equipment.
And I was getting to that.
It's just me. Yeah. Like I have not gone out and spent money on equipment. It's just me.
Being a Native American Indians, I mean, what if any folklore was passed down to you by your ancestors? I'm going to hit you with a bunch of off the wall questions here. So
that's okay.
Yeah, that's kind of a tough one. There's always a lot of different stories that you hear whispered throughout the tribes and all that. One of them being, Bigfoot being in our culture and being part of our history and all that. There's another one of like the goat man, where half human, half goat. You hear the clip clops or the hooves walking on the road, stuff like that. Then you got the little people. We've all heard the stories about over the years growing up.
Most stories I hear is from the little people and also Bigfoot or a skinwalker. Something like a skinwalker creature, like some type of cryptic creature like that. I had read somewhere also, Bobby, that you were interested in like Dogman.
Yep.
You would love to investigate or find out more about Dogman.
I'd love to have an interaction with any one of the cryptids that are out there, face-to-face interaction to pretty much to see exactly what they're about, see if we can form some kind of communication and see if I can learn anything from them.
Right. What's that one? I can't think of the name of it off the top of my head. It's like a big bird and wings go from roadside to roadside. I can't think the name.
Thunderbird.
Thunderbird, or what was it, the one that we talked with Allison about,
the Mothman?
No. Pyasaw bird.
Right, yeah, they're huge. Mm-hmm. It's interesting how I know you're the same way, having your podcast, is you learn, like you're talking about learning, on different topics and different subjects and different guests you have on the show. You learn off of their stories and their experience. I was just curious, because quite a few people I've talked to, indigenous people, but they were, even though they're different tribes and different areas of the country, a lot of us is like connected, there's difference on each one, but there's, I hear about the crows, is a crow, when a crow comes and sits on your tree, something's either good going to happen or bad going to happen, I forget. I was just watching a TV show. It was about on HGTV, Hometown. That was Hometown episode. And a crow sat there selling this house, and this crow sat on the rooftop of that house. Did you see that one?
I did.
And it was like all this bad shit started happening after that crow landed,
I remember that episode. Yeah.
In our culture, we used to speak with all the animals. So when you do acknowledge that when you're out there, that does mean something.
I think I told you before, and I ran across that old Indian about the how he was saying he was dripping this coffee off a spoon way back down, like 2 feet back into his cup. He said everything was sacred. Everything, all the animals were sacred. All the every living thing on this planet was sacred. The trees, the water, the ground, and it's weird. I mean, I have a podcast, an episode on a couple of years ago. It was a true story out of Pennsylvania. A guy sent me, and it led to the an Indian reservation out west. And this guy ran across this Indian doing the same thing that I witnessed with the coffee. So before I retired, 40 some years later, right, I'm at work, and this old man that I'm working with was doing that to his coffee in a lunchroom. I says, "I know what you're doing, man. You're getting evil spirits all that coffee." He says, "Yeah, where'd you hear that?" I'd seen that years ago. I was always curious how, because your family members and your heritage is so important, and learning from them and so different stories passed down, you know.
I wasn't raised with any of that stuff. I was raised, I was raised in a Wisconsin farming community and then a resort community. And, you know, it was near a reservation, but my family didn't carry any of those traditions. And so I learned a lot of that after I became an adult and became interested in the culture.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I mean, a lot of what I heard about was like Wendigos and like different spirit animals and tricksters and, you know, like fox and coyote can both be tricksters.
Mm-hmm.
They have different characteristics as well, but that's what sticks out to me. And that's really where I learned a lot of what I've learned was by choosing to submerge myself in the culture as an adult.
And you said you were grew up in Alaska, was it?
No, my heritage is from Alaska. I've never actually been there. I'm going to get there at some point. Yeah.
Yeah.
I grew up in Wisconsin.
Oh, okay.
So, yeah.
That's on my bucket list, you know, go there someday.
Alaska or Wisconsin?
Wisconsin. No, I don't have no desire to go to Alaska. Sorry, you Alaskans out there. I've always wanted to go out west, you know, see the Rocky Mountains and.
Oh, yeah, that's way west of us.
Oh, yeah, I always wanted to do the Route 60.
Yeah.
I wanted to do the Route 60. I mean, Wisconsin and Nevada and Wyoming and, you know, North Dakota, South Dakota. I always want to go out there and then somewhere along the line hook up on the Route 66 and see if there's anything left of it, you know.
Oh, there is. I've been a part of it in Arizona.
That's one of my goals is actually travel Route 66 from the start all the way to the end.
I just had a past guest that told me she did. She wrote a book on that. She traveled from, I think it starts somewhere outside of Chicago, and she traveled all the way to the end. Bobby, I see that you were investigating with CAPS, which stands for Cryptids, Anomalies, and the Paranormal Society.
Yep.
Is this a team of investigators? And if so, how many is on your team?
Oh, we have several people on our team. I think there's 12 or 13 of us total. Everyone's got their own specialties. So everybody brings something different to the table. That depends on whether or not we're doing, you know, UFO research, to the paranormal, to the cryptids, just straight out weird and whack stuff that, you know, things will be happening and that no one has an answer to.
Do you like to use any type of certain equipment?
When people ask me what's my favorite piece of equipment, first thing I say is myself, you know, because I am intuitive. But also, I really enjoy using some of the equipment because not only does that give a visual validation for those that are watching because we record everything we do, but also gives validation to me a lot of times that what I'm picking up on is legit. There's something there. It's not just, you know, the woo-woo juju stuff going on in my head, you know.
Now, do you prefer home investigations over industrial, or do you like them both?
I like them both.
I like them both.
Christina, you don't use any equipment either.
I really think that having mediums, psychic mediums on a team is very valuable because the equipment can pick up information, but it can't give it context. That's what the mediums do, is that they connect with the spirits that are lighting up the equipment mm-hmm. or interacting with the equipment, and they give context to the information that the equipment is gathering. We have people on our team that don't even do investigations.
Mm-hmm.
Some that just do research and some that just go through evidence afterwards. We have some that only show up, set up the tech and leave, you know, so everybody has their own thing that they do, but not everybody does investigations. Not everybody is built for being up all night.
So you do believe that, you know, doing the research of the building and the people or the people is vitally important. To your investigation.
Not to my investigation, but there are people who do research ahead of time to the investigations. When I go, I don't want information.
Right. So you believe that kind of blurs your investigation?
Right. Because even if you don't mean to, it sets something in your mind of, oh, well, this person has been known to be there, so that's who I'm going to look for.
Right.
I would rather go in cold and just pick up what I pick up and hope that, you know, I mean, if it matches, it matches. If it doesn't, it doesn't. But I would rather do that. That feels more clean, more pure to me.
Mm-hmm. I guess I'm on both sides of the fence there. I like both ways, you know. So, you know, whether if you go in clear mind, like you said, your judgment's already kind of clouded because you already know you're looking for Lizzie Borden or whatever. You're already there looking for, everybody's there for the same thing.
Right.
You know, but if you go into like you say, clear-minded, and maybe something else comes at you that was part of that story, but not what the history is telling you. You know what I'm saying?
Right. Right.
It's like we were talking before, like history is so blurred. So misconstrued to the students in the schools and churches. I'm sure you guys agree with the Native Americans, how they've been pushed aside and lied to for centuries, you know?
Yep.
Yeah. I was curious, you know, because you both do investigations and the equipment that you use. And what do you think about the, like the grids on the wall at the new stuff? And
well, that's totally new to me. I don't really have an opinion on that. Go ahead, Russ.
I've actually had a chance to use one of the grids that actually had a sensor in it, could tell heat and cold and all that. And I got some pretty amazing responses from that. And basically was, as the cold gets closer, it lights up more of the screen on this little grid that's on this piece of, on this device. And not only does it have that, but it has the grid that's projected on the wall. And as this device, this cold or warm gets closer, it lights up the light bar more, and it lights up more dots on this grid. Well, we actually got the spirit to interact with us with yes or no questions by using the grid on the device and this little horseshoe that's on it. As it gets closer and stronger, and we also got to give directions in the room where items that this person had once owned were still there. So I've actually had great responses with that.
Cool. Yeah, I've not used one.
Yeah, me neither. I never had my own investigation team, but I have one out with other friends. And I remember years ago, maybe 25 years ago, a friend of mine invented this one machine, like a spirit box. It did quite a bit of stuff, and he got a patent on it. And the person at the patent office stole his patent. So he kind of shot himself in the foot there, and I guess stuff like that happens.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I think we talked before, like a lot of this is energy. So you're not going to get that grid without energy, let's get into like dowsing rods. I mean, what's your thoughts on that?
I like dowsing rods. I like using dowsing rods. They're great for sensing energy. I actually teach people, living people, how to use dowsing rods to pull in their energy and be able to manage their own energy field, because we all have one. We don't just magically gain one when we leave our bodies. We're already electrical. So as living beings, we can manage our own electromagnetic field. And I teach people how to do that using dowsing rods. So, but I've also used them in investigations where, you know, I use the low tech, I don't know, but, you know, where you walk into a room and all of a sudden they're like, there's something going on with the energy in that room.
So I remember as a little boy, my great grandfather took me out back behind his barn, and he was looking for, you know, water so he could dig for his well. And I'm just maybe what, eight years old. And he had the old fashioned, it was a stick. You know, you're holding it on both sides of that stick.
Yeah.
And that stick points down. And we're out there for a good 15, 20 minutes. And he found the water, you know, where he's going to go. And I thought that was, you know, it just went right to it. Here he said, you try it. I couldn't do it, you know. So my thing is, can everybody do, anybody do that? Or do you have to have that gift, find it?
I think it's a mindset.
I even tried a reason why I couldn't do it, even with the metal ones. I mean, that might be me. I don't know.
I've heard that anyone can do it. I personally have never tried them. I've thought about it, just haven't gotten to that point yet.
Mm-hmm.
You know, but from what I've been told, supposedly anyone can use them.
I mean, electric companies were using them for years. I mean, finding electric lines, gas lines, water, anything with where there's like that's some type of energy, you know?
Yeah.
So there we get back to the energy again, you know?
Yeah, I like them.
Yeah, I've seen them used plenty of times in our investigations with the team, and I have no problem with them. I like them. I've seen them work. You know, you ask them, I've had them ask questions, and then all of a sudden they point over to me, like I got the answer or something. I go, oh, hold on here, what's going on? You know, or when you say something that you're getting a message or something like that, you'll see them cross for yes, you know, which again gives validation to what someone's saying there in the room.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
I've used them also to be able to find like the end of a, or to find a vortex or a portal. You can use them for that too. And a pendulum works just as well. If you hold a pendulum rather than the dowsing rods, works just as well.
Yeah. I like using pendulums myself.
Yeah.
Self-taught in that one.
You self-taught yourself in the pendulum?
Basically, I had seen everyone else use them and someone had gifted me one. And I picked it up in the middle of investigation, started working with it, and was getting answers and directions on what to look for, and away I went.
Yeah, I taught myself too.
Getting off this subject and down to another one, during your investigations, have you come across anything evil or demonic, or have anybody on your team or yourself been hurt?
No one's been hurt, to my knowledge. We've had some that had some kind of attacks, you know, sickness, you know, or kind of like the hangover the next day. Personally, I've never had an issue like that. Far as the dark and evil stuff, I'm still waiting for that day. That's my pardon the French, my old shit moment that I'm looking for. You know, the one that really rocks my thoughts and my beliefs to go, okay, now we got something serious here. That's kind of, you know, my cup of tea there. You know, I've done some studying into the demonology over the years. I have no problem going with, you know, spiritual warfare because I know my beliefs are strong.
I've had two encounters. One was with a serial killer. I accidentally provoked her. I know better than to provoke on purpose. I didn't do that on purpose, but I did accidentally provoke. And I got very sick afterwards. For about 3 months, I was sick afterwards. The other one was in a hotel in downtown Chicago. My cousin and I were just looking around, you know. I mean, we intentionally went there to investigate, but we found a tar demon on one of the upper floors. That's when I call in help. I don't take those on myself. Right. Well, I mean, I call in like gods and angels and yeah. Well, we had Michael and Nyx and Thor and Poseidon and like a bunch of them. Yeah. And then a bunch of other archangels. We had Raphael and Uriel that we called in. It was a big team that came in because that's not something I'm willing to take on myself.
On your Red Road Paranormal.
Yeah.
What type of guests are you looking for? I mean, anybody in any part of the paranormal?
Well, a little bit of everyone. You know, the way we put it out there is, you know, yes, we want to bring light to a lot of the Native Americans out there across the country that are doing the same thing, promote Native awareness and everything. But we also have friends from the paranormal pop in all the time and talk with us. So it's pretty much an open format for anyone that wants to come and talk and maybe do a little teaching or share their experiences right. That they have going on.
And we have people on who are not Native, but they are definitely like experts in their fields. Like we had Kurt Sampson on, and he is an expert in effigy mounts. And so that was a very interesting show because he taught us a lot about different effigy mounts and how they came about, the use of LIDAR. It got into a really technical show, but there was a lot of great information. And I've been at the mounds with Kurt, and he's definitely knows what he's doing for sure. And he's a lot more intuitive than he gives himself credit for.
I'm going to take a short commercial break, and I'll be right back with my conversations with Bobby and Christina from the Red Road Paranormal.
Hello, this is JT, the host of The Paranormal Sun, coming to you live from Tower Studios here in Middle Earth, and you are listening to my friend Al on the Ghosts in the Valley podcast.
Okay, I'm back with Bobby and Christina. We were talking a little bit about cryptids and Bigfoot. I had a question thrown at me a couple years ago, if I thought Bigfoot and UFOs were connected. Your thoughts on that?
I'll take that one first.
Yeah, personally, go right ahead. I'm thinking about it.
personally, it's a tough one. I believe Bigfoot's an interdimensional being. So therefore, if extraterrestrials are interdimensional, they can be connected. But on a personal note, everyone talks about how they've seen a UFO and they've seen a Bigfoot running and stuff like that. Human nature is you see a UFO, most people run from it. So why wouldn't, you know, Bigfoot run from it too? You know, so by seeing the two of them in the same area doesn't surprise me, but I personally don't think they're really all that much connected at this time. I haven't seen enough evidence yet to make me believe that they're connected.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn on it too. It's a pretty new concept for me, actually. I never really thought about them being connected until recently, and only because it's come up in conversation so many times with different podcasts and in different groups and whatnot. So I don't know.
Yeah, see, when he hit me that question, it took me off guard.
Yeah.
I was asking him the questions. So he threw one back at me. I'm like, shit, I don't know. I never thought about it, but now that I've had so many guests on since him, and that topic has come up many times, and now I'm re-examining that theory, because, where you see a Bigfoot, you usually see a UFO in it, around that body of water. I mean, and it seems like these UFOs are going submergible, so into the water. So are they getting their energy? Here we go back to the energy again. Are they getting that energy from the water?
Or do they have bases under the water?
That was my next thing I was going to say.
Yeah.
Right. We haven't been to the bottom. We can't go that deep in a lot of parts of the ocean. So do you think maybe with these 411 cases that's popping up in all these national parks, that I believe a lot of them are covered up as well? So could that be connected with a cryptid or a Bigfoot? I mean, they're just disappearing and nothing's found. I mean, maybe a shoe, but
it might be possible. There's a good possibility. There's a lot of things that are coming up in our national parks. So you figure that's big money for the government. Now, if the public doesn't feel like they're safe to be in the national parks, that's going to destroy their tourism dollars. So therefore, they're going to be out money. So to them, it would be beneficial for them to cover things up. Just like it'd be beneficial for them to say, oh, yeah, Bigfoot don't exist. We don't have no problems here. When really, he's out there in the woods.
Or can the public even handle something like that? Like I said before, if this country went into chaos during the COVID outbreak over toilet paper, they sure the hell ain't gone, cover. They're not going to, they're going to be blown away by a Bigfoot or a UFO. With the Pentagon release of the UFO classified documents. You know what I'm saying?
Redacted classified documents. Right. A lot of redaction documents. But the other thing is, it's like we were in the middle of dealing with a pandemic and trying to figure out how we're going to keep roofs over our heads. And then they come out with this alien thing, and pretty much the response was, we don't have time to deal with that right now.
Mm-hmm. And who was this, the guy that was set up by the Pentagon? So the people they have running these investigations are the people that was saying it was all bullshit to begin with. Mm-hmm. So to me, if you got all these investigators, all these pilots that are professional servicemen, pilots that are flying these multi-$100 million aircraft, are they lying? Are they saying, if more than one is saying that they're chasing this thing and it's going, they're going Mach 3 or Mach 4, and this thing's past them like they're standing still and then out of space and out and gone. And then they're saying they don't have that. They can't verify that. Or it just seems to me I think that they're the ones, the governments are the ones who are the ones that are causing most of the problems, or, just come out and say, we found craft we don't know what the origin is. And we're investing, at least admit that you have something there.
Right. Admit that something's there and admit what's actually ours and what's actually not ours. That's another thing. If those that seen that press conference with Dr. Stephen Greer, you had military people out there that had experienced things that were not extraterrestrial by nature, and they had experienced what they had called government UFOs, government style aliens that when the one, I think he said he kicked it and it showed robotics underneath the fake flesh, if I remember correctly. Mm-hmm. And they talk about different styles of crafts in that, and supposedly the different styles you could tell by whether or not it was man-made or made off this planet.
Right, but you have so many people now with cell phones and on their own device. And a lot of people, it's not just a crackpot drinking moonshine. You know, it's professional people getting these documentation and they're still denying it.
Look at what's going on down in Miami. You know, supposedly they had all the aliens that came to Miami Mall, you know, and they called a big stir over that.
I don't know. It just seems to me that and I've touched on the subject many times on the show with other people, it's been on this UFO cover up and I've even in my own neck of the woods here, right here in Trumbull County, Ohio, in 94, and you could probably Google it. It was it was UFOs over Trumbull County, and it made the Art Bell show. And that's how we got on the map as far as these officers chasing this thing into Pennsylvania, probably about 50 miles from my house. And I have a friend of mine at that time who worked on the police department that was part of the people chasing this thing, right? So you have 10 different law enforcement departments, from sheriff to county to state, all chasing this thing. And it's toying with them. You know, but at the end of the whole thing, well, I won't go the whole thing, but you can look it up and you can hear the audio from the 911 calls coming in from the police officers. And then they're told the next day by the government officials that come in to tell every single one of them that it was a weather balloon.
Yeah. Another thing that kind of, you know, along the same lines is back in the early 2000s, they had on the Chicago News talking about UFOs over O'Hare Airport. And that was swept right underneath the rug.
Yeah,
you know,
yeah.
You heard about it on the news. I actually have a piece of it, the news footage on DVD from that. And all the airlines, they were told, the pilots were told, and everyone that worked for them airlines, you can't speak about this. You got to issue a no comment. You know, so there always is cover up when it comes to this stuff.
Mm-hmm.
I would just like to add a little something, little different angle in here. On the last episode of From Beyond that I was on, I was channeling a Pleiadian, a member of the High Council of Pleiades. And I had to go back and listen to it because I don't remember when I'm channeling what was said. But they said that, you know, when they make contact, they intentionally do not go to the military, any military, or any government official, because they don't want to talk to them. They want to talk to people. You know, yep. It this whole ascension thing is about getting back to the power of the people, not the power of a few people.
But do you believe there's more intelligent beings out there in the universe that we don't know about? I mean, you look at the, like I said before, you look at the planet Earth, mm-hmm. You know, We're like a little teeny speck in our galaxy.
There's no way we can know everything.
You can't.
There's
no
way. Right. There's no way we can know everything.
Mm-hmm.
And there's no way we're the only living life forms that were created on this one little bitty rock in this vast, huge universe.
Right. I agree completely. You know,
that's very small-minded for the human nature to think that for all these years.
It doesn't make sense.
Nope. It's never said that since I was a teenager.
Me too. No. I mean, we're in the same...
Yep.
Good thought processor. Getting on to another topic, life after death. Do you believe in life after death?
Yes.
Most definitely.
Mm-hmm. And why?
Because I talk to them all the time.
Yep.
Yeah. I talk to my son constantly. I mean, seriously, I talk to my son constantly. And he talks back. I hear him. Okay. I was talking to my ex yesterday who passed away recently. You know, I help people communicate. That's my job, communicating with other people who mm-hmm. have passed on. It's a very healing thing. It brings peace to those who are still here. It brings some closure. It brings some answers sometimes. And sometimes it just gives them a few more minutes of reconnection where they can feel close to their loved ones. I absolutely believe that there is life beyond here.
And they could leave you messages in one way or another on that they're here, you know.
Yes.
Yep. Here watching over you, mm-hmm. still with you. You know, I've always said, you know, spirits all around you. You eat, sleep, drink. They're all with you no matter what you're doing. There's spirit around you.
I agree. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So, Christina, you talked about you were able to help a spirit move on.
Mm-hmm.
Moving them on to where?
To wherever they want to go. I have done, I can give an example if that will help. I was called to a home here in Wisconsin where the kids were afraid to go upstairs and sleep upstairs where their bedrooms were. And it was pretty obvious to me when I got there that I was walking through some sort of a force field to get to the house. There were so many layers of protection on that property that they actually trapped a spirit inside of it. Like, he couldn't leave. He was very upset because he couldn't leave, but the kids could feel his being upset and misinterpreted it as him being angry or volatile towards them. And all he wanted was to get out of the dang house. So being able to talk to him and then being able to get help from other, you know, higher beings to be able to poke a hole in all of that many layers of protections. And I asked him, where do you want to go? And he said, I want to go home. I said, then focus on going home. And wherever that is, that's where you're going to go.
Okay. A couple past guests, I think I told you before on a previous conversation that since him and his team were atheist, they didn't believe in heaven or hell.
I don't either.
So if he told him, my question to him was, can you move, do you believe you can move a spirit on? He says, no, that if you're getting rid of that spirit, you are killing that spirit. Now that was his, belief. And yet I had another guest on and I asked her the same question. And she said, she believed that you could move a spirit on to one realm or another.
Yep.
And I kind of like that answer, you know, because, you know, like you said, to wherever they want to, go.
Right. You know? Wherever they consider home is usually where they want to go.
You know, whether you're helping them get back to the source power of all creation, or if you're helping them move on away from the property or the location that they're at currently at, whether they're stuck or not, you know, different dimensions. It's to where, like Christina said, where they want to go, where they want to be comfortable at, where they want to spend their remaining time and their energy at.
Yeah. Being a spiritualist, what would you say the difference is between spiritualist or a Christian?
They're pretty much the same thing. We believe in the Bible. We use the Bible as a textbook. You know, we believe in, you know, the words of Jesus Christ. The only difference is we communicate with spirit. We believe that spiritualism is a science, a religion, and a philosophy. Basically, you know, through the words of mediumship and spirit communication has proven, you know, the different things in the, some of the different things in the Bible, and has proven some other things throughout the years that people are like, I don't know. Well, do your research. It's been spoken upon before. It's been told before. And that's, you know, there. Yeah. And back in like the 80s when I was growing up, you know, you say you're a spiritualist and some of the religions would be like, oh, that's, you're demonic, you're devil worshiping and all that. And I'm like, no, read back into your Bible. There's several accounts there. You can write a whole page of different accounts just by the book number and the chapter number of spirit communication.
Then getting back to the Bible, you know, there's so many things in the Bible that are skipped over. That's not talked about in the church, any church. They don't want to talk about paranormal. They don't want to talk about exorcisms. They don't want to talk about ghostly realms that's mentioned many times in the Bible. So,
well, there's whole books that were left out of the Bible.
I hate to get into a religious thing, but, you know, I was brought up, you know, that question quite a bit. Like, if you are a spiritualist, then you're not a Christian, or you don't believe in Jesus, or you're going to go to hell because you're talking paranormal.
There is spiritualists of all religions. It's not just Christianity. You know, you have Muslims that believe in spirit communication and mediumship. You have from all over the world. You know, there's other religions that believe in the same thing that still fall underneath that banner of spiritualism.
Last podcast, or my last episode, was on Bishop James Long, who is a demonologist. And you wouldn't believe the comments I got off of that. Just alone of him leaving the Roman Catholic Church and going to the old order, the old Catholic Church. They don't understand that most of his exorcism he's performing is from the Roman Catholic Church. They're the one contacting him.
Yeah.
You know, he hasn't left his love for the church. You know what I'm saying? And the comments I've got are it's so sad that he left the Roman, that he's not listening to the Pope. Or, I mean, it's sad that people are so one-minded, one track. They don't even want to listen. You know, they don't want to listen to another person's opinion, or just listen. You know what I'm saying? You know, you can disagree on all you want to. I mean, you can't make everybody feel the same way.
Right.
This world would be very boring if we all thought the exact same way.
Couple of questions on the Ouija board. Your thoughts on the Ouija board?
It's just another tool. That's all it is. My only problem with the Ouija board is that they sell it at toy stores to 8-year-olds, and they don't teach these kids. Like, there's nobody to teach these kids how to protect their space. There's nobody to teach these kids how to use it properly. But honestly, it's no different than any other tool. Not in my opinion.
I think you hit the nail on the head as far as, like, you know, being taught how to use it, and leaving a portal open. You know?
Yeah, if you don't close the session.
Right.
Mm-hmm. But that goes for anything. That goes for seances. That goes for, you know, that goes for individual psychic readings. That goes for gallery readings. That goes for everything.
Mm-hmm. I know it's all dangerous of our seance, you know.
Right. Close the dang portals. It's not that hard. You opened it. Close it.
And don't call on things you don't know what you're calling on. I mean.
Right.
The same thing with ghost hunting, you know, that ghost investigations. You don't just go in and call out any spirit you want to get all, you know, you don't know what you're getting hold of.
If you're filming and you want to be famous for screaming on camera.
Yeah, you got that. Right.
Yeah, shock and awe type guys.
Yeah.
Can I say one thing
that
really gets me here? To all your listeners out there, remember, if you see it on TV, it's there for entertainment value. Mm-hmm. If you really want to know about anything, start looking at some of these documentaries that are made by the teams out there. Start looking at some of the actual YouTube videos out there that are made by reputable teams. Don't click on it just because, it's a demon house. Nope, that's clickbait, guys. Do your research.
I agree.
You know,
and yourself, how many times have you come across a demon? I mean,
I haven't.
And I think I had one once. And mine was I filmed a documentary back in 1998, I believe it was. And it was called Ghosts in the Valley. That's hence my podcast. And it was on true ghost stories from my area. I went to the person's house, and believe it or not, this has happened a couple times. They were talking about energy. My batteries on my three cameras, they were all fully charged, all went down.
That's not uncommon.
So yeah, we get that on investigations.
So
all the time.
Right, you go into the house, and when I talked to her before I got to the house, she was like a happy person, so I wanted to share a ghost story. Okay, fine, I'll come over. As soon as we got in the house, she was standing, there was nothing in the house. There's no furniture, there's nothing in the house. And I thought it was very strange. She's standing way back in the corner by the fireplace, but she's standing there kind of like with her hands crossed and it's looking at me. And she says, I'm surprised you came. And at the same time, the front door shut, the back door shut, and the window slammed shut. I mean, and there was some pounding on the basement floor coming, like somebody's hitting a sledgehammer up from the basement to the floor. And you could feel that. So my partner went downstairs. Then he came up and said, there's nothing down there. And when I turned back around, she's like right in my face. So she went from here to here. She says, I think it's time for you to leave. And I actually felt, you're saying like how you can feel, yourself can feel like that body. Mm-hmm. That's what I felt. You know, it's hard to explain. So when you go to tell somebody that, you just say you're crazy or that's all in your head or, you know, so I would say that was maybe if that was demonic, you know, because she was totally not, her eyes and everything just wasn't the same person. And even my partner said the same thing. And as soon as I get outside, my batteries come back on my cameras. It was weird. It was one of those things you just can't explain. And but as far as like going in and saying I've seen the devil or demon, no.
To me, it sounds like she was under oppression, one stage before possession. You know, because if in theory, if she was truly 100% possessed, she wouldn't have called out for your help.
Right. And so when I got there, when I left, when she says time for you to leave, the voice wasn't her voice. It was like another voice. It was really weird. It was so, it was like something you see in the movies, you know. And yeah. And I didn't put that on my documentary. And there was another one that happened. I won't go into that one. But, you know, there was two. And you'd be surprised at how many paranormal investigators I've talked to that have never come across anything demonic.
That doesn't surprise me at all. It's not nearly as common as TV would have us believe it is.
Yeah. So you, because you know, I believe you have you can have an ornery spirit or a pissed off spirit, you know, but, and that's what a lot of it is, or, or they're trying to get a message across and you're not listening, you know?
Yeah. Then they get frustrated.
Well, they get frustrated, right?
Yeah. Yeah.
They get frustrated, fed up, you know, the thing you got to remember is, they're still human beings. Whatever personality they had here in this world, they're going to have in the next life, you know, once they cross over. So therefore, if they're one of them ornery old men that don't want anybody in their space, they're going to let you know, just like they would have when they were alive still.
Right.
Get off my lawn.
Right. Get the hell out of my house. Quit playing that damn rock music. You know.
Do you take any trigger items with you on an investigation?
I've tried a few times.
I pretty much am the trigger item.
You're the trigger item?
Yep. I do have one place I do want to investigate, and I have something planned out to basically turn myself into human bait. So hopefully one day I get a chance to fulfill that.
I went to one last year. A gentleman called me to his house, not about 60 miles from my house, went to his house, and it was extremely active. Let's put it that way. And I think the house has moved on. And I had said this before on Indian burial grounds, or any type of burial grounds, really. But he was in his garden plowing, and he came up with a lot of Indian artifacts out of his garden. Ever since then, he was having tremendous activity inside the house. So when I went there, the only thing I took with me was a cell phone. And I thought it was just me and my phone. I didn't go there to investigate. I went there to get an interview. And but while I was there, it was I can describe the house as being like a fun house. And the steps, as you go up the steps, instead of them being level, they were slanted upward. So it was hard to go up or down the steps. It was really a strange, he even called it like a fun house. And then my screen on my cell phone cracked like in force. And I just felt that tremendous energy in that house. And I just got this big pressure on my chest, like I gotta get out of here. As soon as I stepped on the front porch, I was fine, and I did his interview on his front porch. So he even had some investigators come in to run their different equipment, and they got some activity. But I asked him, "Do you want to get rid of these spirits in the house? Do you want to pass, you know, move them on?" And he said, "No, he did not, because they were there before he was." And he did not want to move them on, which I think he was probably one of the first ones ever that I've heard they didn't want to move the spirit on, you know, but.
Yeah. I've had some that haven't wanted to.
Really?
Right.
Yeah. And I've had quite a few people who have said if they want to, otherwise they're welcome to stay. We just have to, you know, figure out some ground rules about sharing living space.
Yeah. Yeah. To who they, who.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. You got to coexist together.
And that's basically what I told, this gentleman, because his wife was getting pissed off at him. And so she, when you, more you yell and scream at him, you're just going to kind of provoke him into acting out, you know, says, and so his philosophy was to get along with them, but he wanted to know more or less who's he dealing with. I thought that was interesting. You know, that was the first time for me that a person did not want that spirit out of the house.
See, if this was me in this case, you know, yeah, I'd welcome to stay on whilst they behave themselves. But also, if the activity would have ramped up after you uncovered these things from the earth, first thing that tells me to do is rebury them, give them that respect, put these things back in the ground where they belonged, and honor them and say, hey, you know, sorry for disturbing it, didn't mean to, but we can coexist together.
Right. It's kind of like, you know, a lot of these old churches that bury their members in their graveyard next to the church.
Mm-hmm. Or you even know, under the church.
Or under the church. Or there's another body put on top of that person. If you got money, they're going to put you where they can put you to, keep that family happy. And then we get, and then you have all this activity in the church. And I was wondering, why is all this activity in the church,
Yeah, well, some of the activities in the church can be residual also. You think about all the energy and emotion that is there all the time, that's going to wear off. It's going to leave an imprint. So think about that also when you look at these churches or these old schools.
Right.
Energy, we leave energy behind, tidbits here and there. I know, like my little field stone house, as you see in the picture behind me, which your viewers won't be able to see, but you can.
I see, yeah.
My great great grandfather built that house. I know there's activity there. I've felt it as a kid, but it's always that home, warm family feeling, the peace, the love, and stuff like that. Then again, when me and one of my exes had lived there for a while, and we weren't doing so good, the more we fought, the more you could tell the energy in the house was changing. And now it's just from our energies wearing off there.
Now, is that house built out of, I'm looking at now, is it built out of stone?
Field stone, yep.
Mm-hmm.
It's field stone with poured concrete walls.
Before you get off here, Christina, you have a couple books out.
I do. The first one that I have out is Intuitive You. Psychic and Personal Development. And it is basically like a textbook for the class that I teach called Intuitive You, but it's written in a way that you can do independent study if you don't want to use it with a class. The other one is Wisdom for the Age of Ascension. And that is 150 separate pages of, you just open up the book to whatever page to get the message that you need for that day. And those are both available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Books A Million, all over. Wherever you can buy books online, they're pretty much available.
And I will put those links at the bottom of this episode, along with the link to your podcast. I appreciate you both coming on and sharing your stories and your experience. It's been my honor having you on. I truly appreciate it. Thank you.
Thank you. Thank you for having us on.
Thank you. It's been my honor to sit here and chat with you again.
Likewise.
I greatly appreciate it. I look forward to any future conversations with you.
Thank you, Rez, and thank you, Christina, for being on the show. And please check out Red Road Paranormal. I was their guest on one of their shows, and go check out my interview that I did with Rez and Christina. And please join me next week when I have a special episode, The Memory, and some stories of Cheryl Heath. She was the lady behind the artwork on my podcast. She was the lady behind the artwork on my documentary I did in 1998. And she has also sent me artwork for my up-and-coming book that's coming out. I will share a little bit on the life of Cheryl and also a story she had submitted to me a couple years ago. And I have yet to put it out. And I will put that story out. I will put her story out next week. You don't want to miss that one. I'm your host, Al Cooley of Ghost in the Valley Podcast, and please go to Apple and rate and review my podcast. I really, really appreciate it. The links are at the bottom of this episode. The links are at the bottom of the episode on The Red Road Paranormal and Christina Bloom's books she has out. Thank you again. Talk to you soon.